Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Is the U.S. Attorney General the wingman for the President of the United States? That's how former AG Eric Holder once described his role with President Obama. But under President Trump, with his second AG pick, William Barr, many say Barr has gone too far in working on behalf of Trump the man and not for the office of the presidency. Is this criticism of Barr warranted? How should an attorney general keep politics from creeping into the Department of Justice? We're joined by Donald Ayer. He served as U.S. Attorney and Principal Deputy Solicitor General in the Reagan administration and a Deputy Attorney General under George H.W. Bush. He recently wrote the article, Bill Barr Must Resign for the Atlantic. And Donald Ayer, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So tell me, what is the proper role of the Attorney General?
Well, Department of Justice is a pretty big department that deals with a lot of different issues, and some of them are policy questions like issues related to antitrust and litigation and policies relating to a lot of the property and activities the government's involved in. But some of them, and the ones that most people are most aware of, are very sensitive ones that impinge in very serious ways on the interests and rights of individuals, of citizens and non-citizens as well sometimes. It's an area where it is especially sensitive that the actions of the government be perceived by the public as trustworthy and above suspicion. One of the things that's occurred in our history, and not that many of your listeners probably now remember the Watergate controversy back in the 70s, but I'm sure some do. And that was a period of great upset and really distrust as a result of a failure in the Justice Department, a failure to hold President Nixon to account. Two attorneys general were ultimately convicted of crimes in connection with Watergate. And that kicked in a process of reform that went forward under Attorney General Levy. And so what's developed in the interim is an approach and a number of institutions and a way of conducting the department's business that are designed to and have quite effectively for a very long time, I think, made the public pretty confident in and created a lot of public trust in what the department's doing. So the attorney general today, in the system that's developed in the intervening half century, oversees a complicated big department, but one that also is very sensitive in that it impinges on individuals in very significant and very personal ways. And it's really important that he or she oversee the department in a way that people can have confidence in. And one of the most significant ways is making sure that not only is nothing improper and by way of influence or politics or bias going on, but that the public can see and be confident that it's not. So that's the aspect of the situation here that was implicated by a lot of controversy in the last couple of weeks relating to sentencing of a couple of people who were associates of the president. But more generally, there are major issues that I'm glad to chat about relating to Barr's efforts as attorney general in a whole series of ways to essentially use the department to affirmatively intervene and make the president, Donald Trump as our president, pretty much immune from the checks and balances of the system that have existed throughout our history.
Yeah, all that is very important. We need to get into that as much as we can in the next remaining time that we have. But I really do want to focus on why Americans should care about this. Why having an attorney general who adheres to the traditional role of the AG, why this is important for them, you know, having true and solid faith in the rule of law, and whether an AG can act in a way that will erode that faith, and how that could basically really hurt the unraveling of what we see as norms.
Right. Well, one thing that I think is obvious, but it's only the tip of the iceberg, and I really want to stress that, is that I think most Americans, if they are aware and really believe that the way the government handles criminal cases, the way it makes choices about who to prosecute and then how to handle the cases and what kind of sentences to recommend, people would be quite distressed if they thought that the government's decision in those areas was going to be such that the president could weigh in and get a better deal, better treatment, maybe immunity from prosecution for people that he likes, and by the same token, turn around and get a worse and unfair deal, get prosecutions to be brought against people who he doesn't like. The first of those two things seems to have happened in the last couple of weeks. The second, I don't know that we can say that it has happened or even that it will happen, but all of that would be of great concern to people. The other big piece of the picture, though, that is a little more subtle but ultimately even more significant, I would submit, is that Mr. Barr has been, throughout most of his adult life, very interested and believing in an evolution of the U.S. government to a place where the president is virtually unchecked by the rest of the government. For reasons that I do not understand, it is clear from things he has said and things he has done, things he's done in the last year and things he's said, some in the last year and some just before he took over, that he really believes that the checks and balances, the checks that Congress puts on the president, the checks that the courts put on the president, a whole variety of things, many of which are in the Constitution, he believes that those things ought to be either watered down or eliminated, and he has acted to achieve that. And people really ought to care about the idea that the Attorney General, and I think we all know the President, would like to work toward a situation where he can, as the President has said, do anything he wants. And unfortunately, our current Justice Department is working to assist him in achieving that. And there's more than a dozen things that one can point to that have been done to do that.
Also, the Attorney General is in charge of over the departments like the FBI as part of the Department of Justice, right?
Very true.
And Attorney General Barr has said that, has been critical of the FBI and some of its findings, particularly when it came to their investigation of Russian meddling in our democracy.
That's absolutely right. And being critical of the FBI as a general proposition, and also, you know, the Attorney General, a good Attorney General ought to be looking out to make sure his department is conducting itself properly. You know, there was a finding by the Inspector General with regard to that investigation of the FBI did into Russian interference, and they did find some things the FBI did that were improper. And that's important, and that needs to get fixed. But the other thing that that investigation by the Inspector General found was that as far as initiating that whole investigation and as far as the way the management oversaw that investigation, there was plenty of reason to start that investigation, which included investigating people involved in the Trump campaign. And the IG found that there had not been bias in the way it was overseen. Well, Attorney General Barr, the day that report came out from the Inspector General in December of last year, just a few months ago, the Attorney General announced that he didn't agree with that part of it was improper. So what we've got is it's not a problem that the Attorney General is overseeing and giving guidance. It's a problem that he seems to be consistently doing it in order to steer a course that is going to let the Attorney General be free of limitations that the system is should and must necessarily be providing.
And William Barr was quoted as saying that with NBC News, he gave an interview that he thought that the FBI was operating in bad faith. That is very cutting. That cuts very deep.
Right. And that, I think that reference you're making was probably to, I'm not sure whether it was or not, but there was, as I said, part of the IG report that said one or two employees had in fact acted quite improperly with regard to seeking warrants. And again, I'm not going to minimize that. That was significant. But you're absolutely right that his criticism of the FBI has been more general. Your audience may well recall back starting sometime in the middle of 2019, he began characterizing, and he did it multiple times, the FBI's conduct as saying that they had spied on the Trump campaign. Well, you know, pursuing a legitimate FBI investigation with court supervision hardly deserves to be called spying. And for him to say that about his own agency, apparently for the purpose of making the actions of President Trump and his campaign look more reasonable, again, it's totally inappropriate. And all of it pushes in the direction of leaving the president unchecked by the system that we have in place of checks and balances.
Now, rather than just kvetching about William Barr, I do want to talk about what's the proper role of an attorney general and what our expectations are and why those are our expectations, how this helps the American government, our American system of justice function at the way that we want it to function. But we will be diving into some of these issues, particularly about how Barr delivered an inaccurate and distorted summary of the Mueller report and why that happened and how that may have damaged Barr's reputation and what that could mean going forward. But I got to take this break, and our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the proper role of the Attorney General. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned.
Support for this podcast comes from Sunshine Cottage's Noche del Sol, a fiesta kickoff event with Mexican food, entertainment, and Delaritas, plus a raffle and auctions to benefit the school for deaf children. March 26th, 6 p.m. More at sunshinecottage.org.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line, Donald Ayer. He served as a U.S. attorney and a principal deputy solicitor general in the Reagan administration and deputy attorney general under George H.W. Bush. And so, Mr. Ayer, were you there when Barr was AG?
I was not. I was not. I actually preceded him as deputy AG, and I was there. At that time, he was junior to me. He was the head of the Office of Legal Counsel. And some of the work he did at that time has really, by the way, been a bit of a foundation for some of the incursions that I've described or referenced into the checks and balances, because he's always been a big supporter of somehow limiting the powers of Congress, limiting the power of the courts, and doing what he can to free up the president as essentially as unchecked as he can make him.
This unitary executive theory that Barr has, does this only come into play when there's a president of his party, or does it stay in place regardless of who's?
I think the idea of the unitary executive, it's an idea. I don't know quite when it started being discussed, but it came into favor in the Reagan administration, and I was in various positions in Justice Department in the Reagan administration. But the basic idea, and it's been subject to discussion in the courts, and there's something to it at the heart of it. And the idea is, look, we have one president. The president is the head of the executive branch. The executive branch has many components and parts. The Justice Department is one of them. And the idea that there's a unitary executive is that, well, all of these pieces are not just independent parts that go off and do whatever they want. And I think as a basic idea, nobody could really argue with that. We have one president at the head of the government. The question that gets to be debated arises in situations where Congress decides that they're going to implement policy and implement government action in various areas in a way that slightly complicates the selection processes, the removal processes. So we have a number of independent, so-called independent agencies. Well, they're not entirely independent. Basically, their leadership members are picked by the president, but sometimes they'll have a term that's fixed and they can only be removed for cause. Sometimes, you know, some number have to be Republicans and some number have to be the majority party, some number have to be the minority party. There are various limitations. A number of these situations have been litigated and gone to the Supreme Court. One version of it involves what we used to have, which was an independent counsel statute that created a separate lawyer, actually, to look into things, including possibly conduct of the president. And that went to the Supreme Court. And basically, the bottom line that the Supreme Court has drawn is to say, yes, there can be some amount of independence in these agencies. There can be some ways in which, you know, holding them to a strict line, including the independent counsel who actually may be investigating the president. But there needs to be some kind of a control at some level. And the line, I think, seems to be roughly, you know, that if there's a removal for cause provision, most of the time that's going to suffice. So that you end up with this idea of the unitary executive. It has a core truth to it, but the bottom line result is more complex in terms of if you believe what our Supreme Court says is the law, and that's, of course, our system. Mr. Barr has a vision of the unitary executive, which isn't the one that the Supreme Court has articulated. This is the problem. His vision of the unitary executive is one where the president is everything. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a quote in a second to prove this. The president is everything. The president has all control, absolutely all control. So he actually wrote, and it's available to all of your viewers if they want to see it, in a memo in June of 2018, which he submitted to the Justice Department when he was, and perhaps, I'm not sure, wanting to be considered for attorney general. But he sent a memo in arguing that the Mueller investigation had no business doing what it was doing. And in it, he wrote that the, quote, the president is the executive branch. And he went on to say that thus his power over everything, including the Department of Justice, is complete and indivisible. And in fact, it amounts to what the president himself has said in the last, well, I don't know if he said it in the last 2 or 3 days, but within the last 2 weeks, he said it a few times. He has said, I have the constitutional power to interfere or control the Justice Department investigations. And he said that quite a number of times. He denied that he had done that, but he said he had the power to do it. Well, Bill Barr told him that in the memo, that he has that power. That's Bill Barr's view of this. And so ultimately, that memo went on to say that if the president is being investigated and he decides by the Justice Department and he decides that it should be terminated, that's a power he has. And that isn't something that Congress can limit by obstruction of justice. So that's why I say that Mr. Barr is essentially un-American. Mr. Barr is essentially working, and he's done it in a lot of different ways here. He is essentially working to turn our government into one where we violate the principle that no one is above the law, and we substitute for it the principle that the president, now Donald Trump, is above the law, and he can do anything he wants. So Barr is very much working hand in glove with a president who wants to be an autocrat. And that is why this is all so disturbing. And that is why people need to speak up and say this is wrong and it needs to end.
I'm going to go to the phones, 210-614-8980. Daniel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes. My question is, or comment, I guess, is that, you know, just curious as to if we've created a natural foil for or impossibility of Mr. Barr to do his job, in that the media coverage of Donald Trump, frankly, I'm a longtime Democrat and I'll be voting for Bernie Sanders, but the coverage of his presidency has been disgusting, frankly, and extremely biased. You know, it's been crazy. And, you know, it's like, I can't even have an opinion respecting one type of policy or one thing that the president has ever done without being a traitor. And myself, in speaking among my own friends or among even the liberal narrative that's kind of getting out there.
Sure. And but so I hear you, Daniel. I'm glad you called. But as we hear from our guest, Donald Ayer, he's describing very scary things. And so people are kind of saying, well, these aren't normal times. So and can I react to that?
I think that's right. I mean, I think our public dialogue has gotten so incredibly polarized. And I agree with that part of it. The difficulty is that's a bad time for us to be unable to have a rational dialogue, because the reality actually is, and I try to be calm when I talk about this, even though I frankly find it enormously upsetting. And I try to be fact-based when I talk about it. I try not to make wild accusations about things. But the truth is that it really is troubling, because what Barr has done is work in a whole lot of different ways. Let me throw out some...
Okay, we're short on time.
Okay, well, I've got a whole bunch of examples of ways that they have acted to prevent oversight. People, I think, are familiar with the many ways they've stonewalled. Congress has a totally legitimate function to ask for information, to review it, to consider it, to do oversight. And over again, in opinions of the Office of Legal Counsel, they've stood in the way of that. As you in Texas know, the border wall issue, Congress wouldn't appropriate money for it. Constitution says Congress has to appropriate money. That they're the ones that get to do it. If they don't appropriate the money, the president can't spend the money. What does the president do, and what does Bill Barr defend him doing? He makes a phony emergency declaration and says, oh, this is an emergency, I'm going to take the money from over here. Well, it's a complete fraud. The president himself said it wasn't an emergency. He said he just wanted to move ahead more quickly. And yet, the Justice Department is litigating, and you have a very important case. El Paso and some others have brought challenging it. They've got standing there going forward. I hope to heck they're going to win. A friend of mine.
But really quickly, as we kind of ran out of time here, but if this is the attorney general that we're going to have with a president like Donald Trump, he says, where is my Roy Khan? When Sessions went away, we had in Whitaker, who was like not a great interim AG, but if it's not going to be Bill Barr, he's going to find somebody else, right? And we've got about a minute
left.
Well,
he'll find somebody else, but I think the point is, my hope, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but my hope is that if he's removed, if he resigns because the public is on to the fact that he's trying to make the president an autocrat, I don't believe the next person that comes in is going to be able to try to do the same thing.
And we hear about revolt inside the AG's office, that people are fed up. They're talking about walkouts. I mean, do you hear things like that?
I just hear what you hear. And I know a few people in the department. I know many people who have been, but I don't have any inside information about it. I know they've got to be upset. There's a great tradition there that's being violated now in the way the place is being run. And I'm sure lots of people must be upset, but I don't sit on the phone all day talking to people, so I can't tell you who's upset or how upset or that they're about to all walk off the job. I wouldn't predict.
All right. I want to thank you, Donald Ayer. He has served as a U.S. Attorney and as Principal Deputy Solicitor General in the Reagan administration, a Deputy Attorney General under George H.W. Bush. He recently wrote the article, Bill Barr Must Resign, for The Atlantic. It was really great having you. I appreciate it. It was great to hear your point of view, Donald Ayer. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.